Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The past 24 hours have seen an outpouring of appreciation for the late Hollywood actor and director Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle. And since then, the pair's son has been charged with their murder. However, the tone of response to the tragedy from the White House was markedly different. Shortly after the news of the death was made public, Donald Trump posted on his Truth social platform that a very sad thing happened last night in Hollywood, before going on to call Reiner tortured and struggling, and that he died reportedly due to the anger he caused others through his massive, unyielding and incurable affliction with a mind-crippling disease known as Trump derangement syndrome. And he was asked about those comments in the Oval Office later in the day.
I wasn't a fan of his at all. He was a deranged person as far as Trump is concerned. He said he knew it was false. In fact, it's the exact opposite, that I was a friend of Russia, controlled by Russia. You know, it was the Russia hoax. He was one of the people behind it. I think he hurt himself in career-wise. So he became like a deranged person, Trump derangement syndrome. So I was not a fan of Rob Reiner at all in any way, shape or form. I thought he was very bad for our country.
Well, joining us now for analysis of that and the latest development in his legal battle with the BBC is Dr. Harry Brown, senior lecturer at the School of Media in TU Dublin. Harry, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, first of all, it's been described in some quarters as nauseating what he said, and that's to the normal civilized person. But even his less civilized Republican pals are not pleased.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a history, obviously, of Trump doing very mischievous and fairly nasty public statements about all sorts of people. But to speak this way about the recently deceased, to make it about him, to go really beyond his kind of normal level of mischief, I think you'd have to say. And, you know, a person, when Americans think of Rob Reiner, you know, and they're reminded that we're talking about Stand By Me, we're talking about When Harry Met Sally, The Princess Bride, A Few Good Men, the most lovable collection of late 20th century movies imaginable. And to have the president of the United States respond to this man's death with this kind of outburst, I think is, even for Trump's fans, is far too much. And I think, honestly, if we're talking about someone who mentally is not entirely with it and who is suffering from a derangement syndrome, this is, I think, indicative of Trump's own declining mental state.
Now, Thomas Massie, who's a Republican from Kentucky, wrote on his social media that regardless of how you felt about Rob Reiner, this is inappropriate and disrespectful discourse about a man who was just brutally murdered. And he went on to say, I guess my elected GOP colleagues, the VP and the White House staff will just ignore it because they're afraid. And he said, and I challenge anyone to defend it.
Yeah, I don't think I really have seen anyone defend it. Perhaps Laura Loomer or something like that. The thing was, Rob Reiner in recent years was a kind of a Democratic partisan who was denouncing Trump at every turn. But in fairness, he was the same about Ronald Reagan. He was the same about both Bushes. He's a lifelong liberal Democrat, or he was, and he was exercised about any Republican in power. He was, of course, particularly exercised about Trump, but a normal American liberal. And for Trump, that's too much.
Yeah. The idea, though, that they caused their own murders because they were preoccupied with Trump. I mean, clearly what happened, and it will all emerge in court in due time, is that there was anger on the part of the son at his parents for whatever family reason. It was hardly about Trump.
an incredibly sad story, and the family is known and has been open about the history of drug addiction, of mental health issues, homelessness even affecting that son, and, you know, even to made a film, a thinly disguised kind of autobiographical film about Nikki. So it is something that they've tried to deal with, and even in a kind of a semi-public way, I think, on the understanding that millions of Americans will have had similar experiences. They won't have had it with the same kind of money and public profile that the Reiners had. But, you know, drug problems and mental health problems are very widespread, sadly, in that country.
You might cast your mind back to the killing, the murder of Charlie Kirk. And there were people who were critics of Kirk, and there was, in some quarters, much to criticize Kirk about. But the vice president and the president sanctified him, first of all, and then the vice president was out to get anyone who dared to criticize the memory of Charlie Kirk.
And it wasn't just out to get them. I mean, we had people who were refused entry to the United States on the basis of social media posts that were critical of Charlie Kirk in the aftermath of his.
So here we have the president having a go at the memory of a man brutally murdered by a member of his own family, which is, you know, a compound tragedy, given, you know, the death is, you know, the first part, but the fact that the murders may have been perpetrated by their own son makes it doubly tragic.
Terrible. And the you'd have to say at least that we're not looking at an American president who's doing a lot of political calculation with every word that comes out of his mouth. That there's no way that you could say those things and think that that was going to have any advantage electorally.
Now, let's move on to the suing of the BBC, looking for $10 billion, $5 billion on each of two counts. Will you talk us through this? Because he's taken the case in Florida. Now, the BBC, you might get it by satellite or by VPN, by a virtual personal network, but the BBC doesn't really function on the airwaves in Florida.
Yeah, it's an interesting one in that sense, because it is kind of the lawsuit is on the basis of an idea that the BBC is global and therefore can be seen anywhere. And at some stretch, that's true. But the idea that the Florida election result, which went Trump's way, of course, was somehow affected or his vote diminished by the appearance of that Panorama documentary on a VPN in Florida is pretty crazy. And the other thing is that the BBC has already apologized and had massive kind of purges over the editing of the Panorama program, which was, you know, not good. It was Trump deranged television, in fairness, that if you, you know, that setting out to depict him as worse than he was on January 6th and not a necessary or easy thing to do. But it is the BBC were wrong and they've admitted to being in the wrong. So this is Trump essentially kind of doubling down in kind of war with the media. Yeah. And he, in fairness, has had success.
The problem for the documentary makers who made the documentary for Panorama in turn for the BBC was that they jump cut from one set of remarks by Trump to another set of remarks and made them seem like they one flowed from the other.
Exactly.
If they had simply put a flash of white, which is the common thing to do when you're taking excerpts from a speech to indicate that one set of words is not following directly on another, there would probably be definitively no case to answer.
Probably. And I think that in either case, it's a somewhat misleading edit designed to suggest that Trump was a kind of a leader of violence on January 6th, when, I mean, the reality was that Trump was actually pretty, you know, pretty cowardly from the point of view of his followers on January 6th. He kind of made vague instructions for them to go fight, 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 disappeared from the scene. And when things got rough, he went on television and made a crawling request for them to get out of there. So it's not as though I think it was pretty poor editing, in fairness. And I think the reaction to it has been over the top.
Now, what will happen in Florida? Will there be a judge and jury or just judge? I don't know how it works with that.
Oh, I don't know what the defamation setup in Florida is, I'm afraid, Pat. We know, though, that historically Trump likes Florida courts. The Florida judicial system, like the politics of Florida, are dominated now not only by Republicans, but by Republicans who are friendly with Trump. Obviously, Trump lives in Florida, so in a sense, when he's not living in D.C. And in that sense, he
so he'd be looking
standing
for a hometown judge and jury. That
he's looking for a hometown judge and or jury. Yes, Pat, exactly. And I think, you know, there's every chance that he'll find one. But at the same time, the proving of damages, he's looking, I think the lawsuit is something like $5 billion in damages and another $5 billion in kind of a trade infringement aspect of it, which is bizarre. Yeah. But the idea that there were damages in a situation where Trump was elected president soon after that broadcast went out in Britain and all places connected by VPN to Britain is pretty absurd. And I think that that's going to this strikes me as more like the kind of cases like the one against The Wall Street Journal that he brings up. He maybe even does some paperwork on it, but will be tied up for years and years, unlike the cases that he took against CBS and ABC, where they folded. And
yeah, well, there are all sorts of machinations there about control of media and ownership of media and people not wanting to offend the great Donald. But this looks like a straightforward slap case, you know, strategic lawsuit against public participation. It's to shut the BBC up, basically. And
to
terrify other media.
Which he's successfully done already. You know, he has successfully, the BBC has absolutely crawled to him already. So this is kind of, you know, looking for that extra bit of humiliation to the BBC. Of course, his allies in Britain would love to see the BBC financially crippled. And, you know, it's a part of a long time right-wing desire on the behalf of people like Rupert Murdoch, of course, in British politics, who have been looking to diminish the power of the BBC. But meanwhile, of course, Trump is suing Rupert Murdoch's Wall Street Journal for their accurate story about Trump's birthday card to Jeffrey Epstein. So, and as I say, that's one of the ones I think won't succeed. But on the other hand, as you say, CBS is now effectively under the control of his allies, and other important media companies are going in the same direction.
Now, Trump said that the BBC had put words in his mouth. Well, they didn't actually put words in his mouth. They did an edit. But the point is, he said they reused AI and all that. So is there an opening, like Michael Wolff did, to countersue Trump for maligning the BBC, accusing them of using AI? And therefore, they have a chance for discovery. They've got a chance to get Trump actually testifying himself, which would be interesting as a measure of his mental decline.
I think that the BBC, I think, are unlikely to go that route, perhaps exactly on the basis that you referred to earlier, which is that they're going to fight this case probably on the basis of the standing of the Florida court to hear it. That they are not liable in that jurisdiction. So I would be surprised if they went for a countersuit. Trump's remark about the AI strikes me as just his another indication of his own kind of confusion, frankly, about what he's looking at in any given situation, rather than the basis for a countersuit. I think the extent to which the BBC has already apologized for that Panorama broadcast means that fighting it on the facts, as it were, would not necessarily be a strong way for the BBC to approach it. I think they'll more likely fight it on the question of jurisdiction.
Dr. Harry Brown, Senior Lecturer at the School of Media at TU Dublin, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.